The Sharks lose a heartbreaker to the Chicago Blackhawks on home ice, 5-4 in overtime, spoiling Devin Cooley's introduction into Teal. We'll talk about all of that and more after this. But first, if you want to be a part of the show and join the conversation, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans on the page or the app, that being on the YouTube chat, the X Machine, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, SoundCloud, Discord, Reddit, TikToks, and all that and more at TealTownUSA.com. Of course, if you want to help support the pod, we appreciate it. And we're helping to get Eric that new MacBook, maybe, at TealTownUSA on the Venmo machine. Thank you so much, everybody. Now, I'm pleased to be joined by Miss Jules. How are you doing this evening, Jules?
I'm here. I'm good, but I'm here. That was a game.
It was a game. I mean, you know, it started with a lot of promise. I felt that the Sharks played really much on their toes in that first period. You know, we'll talk about quickly Thomas Bortolo getting his fifth of the season on the power play with Zets and Kalen Addison getting the assists, and the Sharks take a quick 1-0 lead. Really good setup to boards in the slot, and he just lets it rip and able to get one past Mrazek. What did you see on the power play that was kind of working? Because wasn't the only power play goal we had.
They were just moving the puck well. Well, that was good. Like they just at the start of the game they had their feet underneath them. They were moving the puck while they were like out shooting the Blackhawks, like what was it, like 11-4 or some crazy stuff. So I don't know. They were moving the puck well on the power play, like boards. It's nice to see him get on the board. I was not a fan of his game for a big portion of this year, so it's nice to see him, you know, get on it.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit prior to the start of the show just that, you know, we wanted to see the kids score and we wanted to see, you know, some growth from the younger players. And I mean, a guy that you really want to see grow and develop into something is Thomas Bortolo, whether that's here or somewhere else. I know you've talked about, you know, maybe getting him a fresh change of scenery. Try and say that three times fast. But again, you know, a guy who we saw, you know, be drafted by the team. He's kind of developed through the CUDA, and we'd love to see him, you know, become something in this league. So if
it's nice for him to get going, and I'm glad Quinn's giving him PP one time. Like, I was really happy with the PP one, like who was on it, how they did. We'll get to this, but it was nice to see the young guys score. Look who scored today was Zetterlin and Boards, right? So, yeah. Like, the Sharks under 24 team today, I think, all together put up, like, 14, 17 points in a day. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
So, you know, as we buried the lead here a little bit, Thomas Bortolo would get his sixth of the season at 10:17. So that would be his second goal of the game and second goal of the first period. Justin Bailey and Nico Sturm kind of, you know, throwing in the yeoman's work there on the assists. And again, you know, him just doing some good skating, getting into the quiet part of the ice and able to get, you know, a nice shot on goal, able to, again, kind of take advantage of Peter Mrazek kind of shifting around a little bit. You know, Mrazek's kind of can at times be kind of squirrely. So again, getting him when he's in that squirrely mode, you know, and you can really take advantage. And the Sharks, I think, ended up doing that. But I think overall, just in that first period, it was just really dominant hockey by the team. It was kind of nice to see that the team.
I thought it was one of the best periods they played. Unless there was one, I don't know. The during the road trip, they also had a pretty good period. I thought they came out, they had their legs underneath them, and then it then it didn't. But
yeah,
I thought at the start it went really well.
Yeah, exactly. Then it didn't. So okay. The second period would start actually kind of with a bang, as where the, you know, leading off from that first period. Fabian Zetterlund. Yeah, a guy who was part of the Timo Meier trade, and actually, you know, looking back at it, a guy that we thought was maybe an add-in piece is starting to present itself as maybe a viable second line, third line kind of tweener player. And, you know, he's posted 20 goals this year. It's his career high. And, you know, now he's up to 15 assists. So, you know, career high in points. But on that first goal, 16 seconds in, Zetterlund would be an assist by Klim Kostin and Mario Ferraro. Kostin, I think we also saw as a guy who...
I love Klim Kostin.
I just saying, you know, really, really... benefiting from the change of scenery, and maybe another guy who you could keep around on a third line who, you know, can provide a little bit of some physicality, I mean, maybe a little bit of a scoring touch.
He's one of the seven forwards the Sharks have signed into next season, not counting RFAs and UFAs.
Yeah, right.
We have seven forwards next year, people. Buckle up. A lot of David Quinn's favorite defenseman playing forward is about to take place. Sorry, Ian.
Well, we'd quickly see Zetterlund score again, a minute and 24 in, and this one being on the power play with Eklund and Mikael Granlund getting the assists. And this one, I mean, just I didn't think he had this kind of a shot in him, you know, just kind of piling.
What a pass by Eklund, though. Like, just yeah. Casual, like, no look, let me just slide it through.
Yeah, just really good execution. And like you were saying, the power play, moving the puck around quite a bit, and just able to get the pucks out into the quiet spaces. And again, I'm happy to see Eklund and Zetterlund do well. Part of the Scandinavian contingent that's here and coming.
I mean, once the Swedish Towers get in here with Beasted and Enstrom, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't remember a Sharks team with this many Swedes on it in a long time.
Yeah, a lot of Swedes, guys, buckle up, and a lot of BU and BC players. So
just Swedes
Boston
in college.
And Swedes.
Yeah, exactly.
Boston and the Swedes, the next 2027-2028 Sharks.
Yeah,
you heard it here, folks.
Yeah. however, one guy who would kind of rear his ugly head back, and it was kind of funny, Jules was saying, this guy seems to always play like Wayne Gretzky when he plays against the Sharks. Ryan Donato with his 11th goal of the season.
I need someone to do the stats on this. How many goals does Ryan Donato have since he left the Sharks, and how many of those are against the Sharks? It has to be more than 50 of his goals come against the Sharks.
Yeah.
Just has to.
Yeah, dude. I mean, we just see the animosity, I guess, he has towards the organization, still playing with a real big chip on his shoulder. But Tyler Radish and Johnson would get the assist there, and that would give Chicago a little bit of life at 6:45. And then about 6 minutes later, Tyler Johnson would get his 16th of the season with Donato getting another assist, and Tyler Radish.
That's when I knew they were blowing this.
Yeah, so at this point, you know, Ryan Donato with the 2-point night going into the third period.
Again, fucking Connor McDavid.
Yeah, exactly, right? Going into the third, we'd have the wheels just kind of completely fall apart for the Sharks. I mean, at 6 minutes in, Seth Jones would get his fifth of the season with Kaiser and Bedard getting the assist. Bedard really actually setting up all of that. And again, I mean, he was kept off the score sheet besides a tertiary assist tonight, but I thought he played well. A guy who, you know, can really make something out of nothing, and really was the catalyst for that goal, getting, you know, Chicago back in.
The dude's like 18 and is putting up monster numbers. I think he's just fine. Like, he played well today.
Yeah.
Like,
So as you can see, Jules is very enthused with this game. Philip Kurashev.
I went from watching Will Smith demolish people to the Sharks. It was a little bit of a downgrade, in my opinion. Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, keep going. I mean, in all seriousness, I thought Connor Bedard's going to be a beast. I think they just need to get him actual line mates, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
That's all.
Exactly. I think you're totally right on that, Jules. And you know, the team would be playing on its heels the rest of the third period. Honestly, I mean, the Blackhawks could have scored a couple different times, but instead they break through with the goaltender pulled with Philip Kurashev at 19:13 in the third period to tie it up. Ryan Donato capping off a 3-point night, And
Connor McDavid.
And Fogliano getting secondary assist there. That would put it into overtime with Seth Jones burying his sixth of the season, 18 seconds in. Kurashev getting the secondary assist, the only assist that was put on that. And the Sharks would lose 5-4 against Chicago. And what turned out to be, or, you know, what started as a night with a lot of promise, I think we saw a lot of good things, ends up leaving a really, really bitter taste in your mouth. And you feel really sorry for Devin Cooley. You look at the way in which, you know, all of his family is out there to help support him. The tank seemed to really be rocking, and had some really good energy. And the team's lack of fundamental success rears its ugly head once again. And I mean, me and you have done so many of these shows, Jules, where it's just like, I just want to see them be at least a little bit more sound in their own defense. But this defense is just complete garbage.
They don't have guys. And the guys that they probably need to be, if you want to say developing or whatnot, are down in the fucking minors. Jack Thompson, Mooka Madulin. I mean, the only guy is Thrun. And lovingly put, I think Thrun's playing way beyond what he should be playing right now. Like,
yeah,
they don't have guys back there. Like,
I mean,
whatsoever.
Addison needs to, you know, have a defensive defenseman with him because he's a liability. I mean, at this point, I don't know what Mario Ferraro is doing half the time when he's on the ice, because it seems like he's impulsive. He's become this impulsive defenseman, whereas before he was a little bit more stay at home, a little bit more steady. And I feel like he's now taking on a different role than what his game is geared for. I think we're starting, not starting, but I think we've seen all year that because of the lack of depth on the defense, you've got players propelled into positions that they're not necessarily excelling in. And I think
Blackwood's playing ridiculous this year has masked a lot of these defensive things. I mean, we saw them, but like, they didn't really affect the score, if that makes that much sense. Cause, like,
exactly.
Like, Blackwood's been playing out of his fucking mind. By the way, New Jersey, how's goaltending for you going? Eh? Anyways, Blackwood's been playing out of his mind. And like, the minute we throw in a guy who isn't gonna, like, you know, I think there is something there with Cooley, but again, fucking goalies are voodoo magic.
Oh yeah.
So you never know.
I mean, I looked at Devin Cooley's game tonight, and I thought in the first period he did well when he wasn't facing a lot of shots. I thought in the second period one of the goals was questionable. I think the Tyler Johnson goal, you know, I didn't really love.
Also, who was the guy that tried to take out Eklund's knees?
Or the guy,
Ed Winsel?
The same guy, okay, who tried to freaking give Thrun a run into the, you know, his head running into the glass, you know, and
I was like, that did not look good. But again, with this, I don't know, man. Like, they don't have guys right now that can do this. Like, they need to actually start drafting some defensemen here. Luca Cagnoni, Jake Furlong, all those guys are great, but like, they're not the answer to this defensive problem.
I mean, I don't think a defense can afford to have an aging Jan Ruda, an aged out Mark Edward Vlasic, and, you know, a defenseman who is, you know, lost in the woods and Mario Ferraro, and expect to have any sort of semblance of a defensive structure.
Again, with the guys they have, I don't think you're gonna get that. So like, I've just at this point have come to terms with, they're not gonna get any defensive structure this year, no matter how much we think we like, no matter how much, but like, he's just, it's not there. Like, yeah, it's just not there.
It's just not like, there.
No, it's just not there. Like, I don't know what else like to say regarding that, because like, they also don't have the guys back there right now to make it work.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you look, I think it's just an organizational deficiency overall. It's just strong stay-at-home defensemen.
People are going to come at me for this, but like, if the Sharks don't get the first overall pick and end up with the second overall pick, like, my brain thinks we need Levashov more than we need Celbrini at this point. Like, the Celbrini would be wonderful, but we're also in desperate need of a number one stud on the defense. And we don't have that right now. Mook isn't that, in my opinion. But yeah.
No, I mean, I think Mook, if you're looking at him to be a solid number two, I think that that's like a wild miscast. I think, honestly, he could probably be a second pairing, second pairing type defenseman where, you know, he's number four overall and, you know, anchoring a good solid pair with a offensive defenseman on the second pairing. But
like, the Sharks don't have, and the thing that concerns me is they don't have that number one guy either coming up. So their defensive mishaps and all, I feel, are not going to get any better in the near future until they bring in those guys to actually make the defense a little better. Now, I don't know if Weathergear sees this defense and decides to go get a few guys in free agency on a shorter term contracts, of course, but like, yeah.
I think you're kind of stuck though until Mark Edward Vlasic's contract comes off the books. I mean, to really remake the defense, I think you need to shed yourself of that and Jan Ruda. I mean, as much as I've loved to have him kind of stabilize back there, he hasn't, you know, it's clear that Father Time has not been kind to him. And so you see the shell of what he used to be, and at times he can really look like a competent defenseman, but I think when you start to place him against higher level competition, especially higher level competition that can skate well, he really gets exposed.
It goes down the drain very quickly. Again, their defense corps, just, it's not good, and we have come on and said this like 8 million times. It's not good. And I don't think it's going to be any better next year. I think they're still going to be bad next year. I hate to say this. Like, they're not, I don't see this team improving next year.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a dream scenario in my head, but that's not going to make them in the playoffs or anything.
Sorry, Dave. So Dave is asking, you know, the on the second goal, I got the second and the first goal confused. The Ryan Donato where he gets back, he gets the rebound and then he does the backhand. I wanted to see Cooley hug the post a little bit more. And again, that's a young goaltender thing. I mean, that can get fixed. But I think that was of the goals tonight, that was to me the most questionable, and it wasn't even that questionable, right? I honestly feel like when you have that defense in front of you, like what do you expect, honestly?
Like this that's why, like, when people are like, I don't know, like that's the thing, like, I don't know, like they can't defend a leader right now. Like you said, it's kind of Toronto Maple Leafs 2.0, mm-hmm. except the Maple Leafs are good at least.
I think they have much, you know, they have so much forward depth that it does mask the defensive issues.
The defensive issues, but like the Sharks just, they don't have that right now.
No.
They have 28 million. Yeah, they have 28 million in cap space by a few defensemen. And this is the thing. I don't want them going out and spending crazy ass money this free agency.
Like, no, I think I 2 years, the free agent class in 2 years, I think, is going to be better than this class. Like, we started already looking at who's available in free agency. And
I've already started looking at the next year's draft, y'all. Like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's thin. I mean, there are a couple, we were talking about a couple forwards who might be interesting reclamation kind of projects. But, I mean,
Tyson Jost, you are San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You heard it. Honestly, it was Landy who said that, but like, you heard it here, folks.
Yeah, I mean, coming from a Buffalo organization, you know, a younger kind of guy, you know, a guy that Greer might look at like an Oscar Lindblom, and you know how he's kind of got a place for hard luck stories right now. So yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising. Burge bringing up a great point on the debacles with the scouting in Russia, you know, talking about who we're going to pick up in the draft. So I guess let's put the bow on it tonight. The Blackhawks beat the Sharks 5-4 in overtime. The Sharks would end up leading in the shot department through the first two periods, but the Blackhawks would bring it back to 31 shots on goal. And unfortunately, Devin Cooley gets the loss. 26 saves on 31 shots for an .839 save percentage. So
I feel for Cooley, though. I'm not.
Oh, I agree.
I feel for Cooley. Apparently, also according to a few people in the chat, they were just showing his mom crying. Sharks broadcast, maybe don't do that. But like, yeah.
Yeah, at the maybe, end, maybe, at the end of overtime, that. Like, that's it, a little that was rough. Up. It was no, you're absolutely right. It was rough, and like, I just like read the room, you know, like
yeah, please. I didn't see if it actually happened or not. I'm trusting chat here, but like,
oh no, no, maybe. It was on CSN Bay Area at the end, like when
why,
after they
why do that. Why? Like, why put salt on the wound? Like,
ugh. Really? Yeah, really. Yeah. Anyways. All right. Well, Jules. So I guess let's go on to greener pastures. I mean, the prospects have been looking very, very good. We've got a kid out of Hockey East who is tearing it up and setting records. You've got Quinton Musty who is just going off. You've got a kid in the WHL. I mean, as a defenseman, with 91 points.
For those who don't know this about Will Smith, boy, is that guy a big time player, eh? dude had 9 points in the last 48 hours.
I hope he inherits the Joe Pavelski will to play, because if you can match that with he's got more skill than Joe does, but if he can add the determination and like the ability to get better year on year, he could be a really special player.
So he was named MVP of the Hockey East tournament. In addition, he's now up to 67 points in 37 games. According to Chris Peters, he's now up to 67 points in 37 games, the only under 19 player with more points in the last 30 years in a single NCAA double season was Jack Eichel with 71.
Yeah, at this point, do we think Smith is winning the Baker?
I don't think so. I think it's going to go to Gauthier or Celebrini. I think Smith isn't getting enough love.
It's such a and that's a difficult trophy to win, especially, you know, out of his program, right? I mean, look, BU is
having the best freshman year in history for Boston College. He just passed the guy today in points for like the best season a freshman has had at Boston College. Like, I don't know how you don't consider him for the Hobie, but the thing with Boston College is like their second line is Smith, Perreault, Leonard. That's not even their top line.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That team's pretty stacked.
I don't know if they are gonna give it to fucking Smith for Hobie. I think they're gonna lean Celebrini.
And the other thing too is, like you said, he's a freshman, right? And it's so difficult to win that award as a freshman. Like, it's already a difficult award to begin with, but to win it as a freshman is just, that'd be pretty insane.
He got 4 goals tonight. I don't remember his stat line yesterday. I think it was like maybe 1 goal, 3 assists last night. Like, the dude's playing on a ridiculous level, shows up for the big games. Like, he's a proven winner in every single league he's been a part of. And he's been a big part of those championship wins every single time. Like, there's no doubt that he doesn't show up for the big games.
Yeah, no, I think he is turning, like I said, turning into like miniature Joe Pavelski. So I hope that he continues with this and continues to come in clutch, because that's the kind of player that the Sharks need, that we've lacked for, well, since Joe Pavelski left.
Another player who blew up, like genuinely blew up, is our favorite Quinton Musty.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, go ahead.
No, you can go. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, no. I mean, just saying, I mean, you're looking at him right now in the U.S. On the under 18s right now, 4 games played, 5 points.
Right now. So
Sudbury.
Yeah, right now he's with Sudbury. That's yeah. like
102 points. Sorry, excuse me. 102 points in 52 games played.
I think I saw it might have been JD yesterday saying he needs 8 points in his next two games to go to 2 points per game. Right now he's at 1.96. The dude got like 5 points today. I think he's getting 3 points tomorrow, hopefully, and that'll bring him up to 2 points. He had 4 points tonight, but like he's putting up 1.96 points per game in like the OHL. Like the dude's playing, like it's too easy for him. It feels like, now, mind you, that defense is kind of dog shit who they were facing tonight. Questionable, like the Sharks. I think Musty could have scored on the Sharks at this point with how bad their defense was, but like, yeah, just lighting it up.
Yeah, and if you're wondering, wondering the leaderboard of the points in the OHL, David Gauthier with 117 from the
Bears. 21, by the way.
Yeah, from the Kraken is overager. Musty with 102 points, 43 goals, 59 assists at 18 years old. Jeez. And then the third is Dalibor Dvorsky with 88 points, 45 goals, 43 assists. He is a St. Louis Blues prospect. So
to give some context real quick, sorry to interrupt, but to give some context, in the last three games, Quentin Musty has 13 points. In the last four, he has 16. In the last five, he has 18.
It's just, crazy. It's crazy. I mean, oh, wow. I mean,
fuck, I sang we're too calm. Yeah, I think we both just gave up a little at this point, puck guy.
Yeah, I mean, we're on to prospects now because, I mean, you just talk about how crappy, you know, it's been right now. And I just don't see, Quentin Musty's third in the OHL, sorry, not second. He's second on his team because Gauthier is on the Sudbury Wolves as well. Anthony Romani for North Bay has 109 points.
Look at Musty is just playing on a different level, which is going to make next year really fucking interesting to see what the Sharks do with him. Because he can't play in the AHL because he's not the age for the AHL.
Right.
So he either has to be sent back to juniors or make the Sharks.
Right. Guess he would be, he would be on that weird cusp where he'd have to go back for his 19 years, right?
I can almost guarantee you that guy's getting 9 games. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an Eklund situation, you know, but where like, he'll get his 9 games.
They're going to send him back and he's going to probably put up like 120 ass points next year. Then it's going to be fabulous when the Sharks stuff.
I mean, I could see a world in which, let's say he scores like 5 goals in his 9 appearances, you know, between 5 to 7 goals and like, I don't know, maybe a good half dozen to 8 assists. Like he could really force a really tough decision for Greer. And I think he could do it. I mean, I think
Musty's going to force a lot of people's hands next year with the Sharks organization.
I'm just looking at him now and, you know, he's 6'2", 201 at 18 years old. So at 19, he's probably going to be like, you know, 210, he could probably be like 6'2.5. So, I mean, that's pretty good size.
One thing I will say is, like, honestly, it would not suck for Musty to go back to the OHL.
No, I don't think, like, so. I mean, to have him be away from the losing would be probably a better thing.
And that's the thing, like, with Smith also, like, people are saying now, like, what does he do? Like, unless the Sharks decide all of a sudden they're going to bring in all of the young kids next year, if they get, let's say they get Sobrini, they bring in Sobrini, Smith, and Musty. Unless they decide to do that and then go sign some free agents that are actually good hockey players then I will be fine with it. But if they're just bringing in these kids and letting them figure it out for themselves, I'm going to lose my shit. But yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean, and Ricky saying, yes, if Musty scored 11 points in 9 games, it would stay with the Sharks.
Knowing the Sharks, they'll still send him back. Like, let's be realistic here. Like, that's a, like, that's not happening, but like, yeah.
I mean, I think you'd need to have a really big outburst in order for him to stay. I think he's got the tools that he could stay if he projects and grows into his frame a little bit more. but Ricky's saying at that point you'd have to send him back because he derailed the tank. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's still 80 more, 2 more games next season.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh.
God help us.
Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about if we don't win first overall this year, like how crappy is this, all of this that we've gone through this season.
We'll get a number one defenseman out of it, but like that's about it. I don't know, man. Like, this team's bad. Let's take it for what it is. Let's enjoy when the kids do good things. You can choose to be a negative Nancy and say, what if they all bust? Well, great. Be that way. I don't care. But like, just enjoy the fucking kids lighting it up. They all had a good game today, and you know, there's something there. The Sharks are brewing, just not even close to ready yet.
No, I mean, Cagnoni with 91 points for the Winterhawks.
Dude, I believe, set some sort of record today. I don't remember which one because all the Sharks prospects all at once decided to break every single record. Oh, here it is. Luca Cagnoni becomes the first WHL defenseman since Shane Peacock in 1993-94. To register 90 plus points in a season.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I'm
Shane Peacock. I'm sorry. Anyways,
I'm just looking at the depth chart for the Sharks and just, you know, who's in the system. And I think I would be really happy to have, you know, a defense heavy draft this year if that's the way it ended up, you know, if that's ended up, the way it ended up shaking out. I mean, it just, you look at the back end for the team and Jack Thompson's nice. I mean, you know, maybe he's a player, maybe not. I mean, you hope Mooka Madulin, you know, will be a player too. You know, Jake Furlong, maybe. But Cagnoni, I mean, he's the guy that you're really banking on to be the engine of the team for the next generation. And to see him doing well is good, but I want to see some more players around him that can, you know, kind of protect him and insulate him a little bit on the defensive side. So I don't know. I don't know. And yeah, Cagnoni is like 5'9". That's hard at the NHL level. I mean,
and that's why Cagnoni slipped to the way he did, because I can guarantee if he was 6'3", he was gone in the first round.
Right.
First round, I mean, maybe early second round, but like, you have a
5'9", 180 pounds. Oh. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think it's close to Quinn Hughes. You know, I think he'd have to look really at Hughes as like the model of which he'd have to follow. Because, I mean, shoot, that was even smaller than Boyle, right? Because I think Boyle was 5'10".
I don't remember how tall Boyle was, but like, I haven't watched Cagnoni play enough, and I got asked this question on the Discord, like, do you think it's going to translate, at least his physicality aspect, because he's so small? I don't know. Like, I don't know what to expect out of Cagnoni. I think it's a very, it's an interesting prospect, and I do have some questions with him. But yeah, why are we talking about Gavin McKinnon 2026, guys? Oh God.
Chris Martin.
If I start mentioning Gavin McKinnon tank, I'm gonna get yelled at. So I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, no. And then Chris asking, is he as talented as Hughes? Though, I mean, that's the question, right?
I don't think so. I think Quinn Hughes is a little more talented and has a little bit. I think Quinn Hughes has more of the tools put together. Like, exactly. Had more of the tools put together at his age than Cagnoni does. But, like, listen, Cagnoni could be an amazing ass steal in the fourth round for, and be a very solid three or four defenseman. Like Cagnoni and Mukhtar Mudulin could honestly be a pretty good pair.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I don't know if the handness works because I fucking hate the handness, but like, yeah.
Felix saying some more locker room quotes from Cooley to sum that up. Dude, that's really hard. You know, he's really hard on himself and he hopes, you know, he's got people telling him that things are going to be okay. But yeah, you know, it sucks that that debut, you know, the team couldn't put a better defensive effort in front of him. And I don't put that game on him at all. It's good to see a Bay Area native, you know, start for the team and, you know, a guy who came up through the Junior Sharks and stuff. I just, when you have as poor a team as you do now, and there's just so much, I don't know, I guess there's just so much room for things to go bad in such a horrible season. Why would you subject him to this is kind of my question.
I think they needed a goaltender. What you mean, why they traded for Cooley or why did they put him in for Cooley?
No, why'd they put Cooley in instead of like maybe...
Who else are they going to put?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's Krona
back in there, and Blackwood just played against fucking Tampa. Like, I don't know who the Sharks are throwing in there at this point. Like, if you're playing goaltender for the San Jose Sharks, you're going to have a bad night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the way that it is right now. It doesn't matter what goaltenders put in there. It could be the ghost of Terry Sawchuk, and it'd still suck.
I mean, Felix did have a good point, that this team is going to have good habits for the future. I think if the Sharks surround the kids with the right veterans, I'm not going to worry about that. Because I'm just, you know, I think if you surround it with the right habits and then once Quinn's out the door, I think the Sharks have a guy in mind to build in those right habits with those kids. And a lot of these kids right now are a part of winning-ass cultures who win and can win championships.
Felix.
You can. But the question is, would they blow a 5-0 lead if they've had Gila? Like, with how long would it take them to have blown the lead with Gila Fur?
With Grant Fuhr in the net? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. Rob, I've been saying who's out there we could sign to a PTO. Yeah, right.
Devin Dubnyk, come back as a San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, Devin Dubnyk, your name is called. You get the lucky job of playing goaltender for the San Jose Sharks. Have fun.
Oh, we have a goalie, Chris Martin. San Jose Sharks, if you're looking for a goalie, we have found you one. What's your save percentage, eh?
Dude, it's got to be better than freaking 8-10 by Blackwood against Tampa Bay. Oh, that was horrible.
Anyways.
All right, Jules.
This team is bad.
It's bad. It sucks when it does bad. It sucks when it, you know, when it goes even more off the rails. But let's end it up here. Let's see. You know, what are you excited for in the next, say, 4 or 5 games? What is one thing you can look
forward
to? I was
going to say, what are you excited for? And I was about to say the draft. God damn it. I want the kids to keep scoring. Like, I'm not going to sit here and freak out because the Sharks blew a 4-0 lead. Like, they don't have defense. They're not good. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just saying it as is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and freak out, but I've seen this fucking unfold 10 times. But, I want to see the kids continue scoring, and I want to see X, Zetterlund, Kostin. I want to see them all continue to progress. That's all I want to see. I don't care if it's a win or loss at this point.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong. I think for myself, I keep stressing the structure, but it's not going to happen. So I think at this point, I'd rather just see the kids, you know, score some goals and have some fun, at least a semblance of fun. But I think we'll start wrapping it up here. So in case you missed it and you want to check us out again, smash the YouTube like and subscribe button and the bell notification to know when we go live after every single game. We don't know why we do it either, folks, but we do it. You can also check it out on the Apple Podcast Store, the Google Play Store, the YouTube Rewind, SoundCloud, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, and the Odyssey app. Of course, you can always check out the Rewinds and the SoundCloud upload over at tealtownusa.com. And we really appreciate everybody checking us out and stopping by. If you're a first time or a long time, we're always appreciated here and giving you a space to outlet your frustrations on the San Jose Sharks. I know we do. Jules, let me get your final thoughts on where the people can find you.
Yep, you can find me at Sharks_Jules. I'll be posting some prospect content as the playoffs for those guys get going. We'll see how those guys do. And regarding the Sharks, just, you know, they have no defense. Remember that.
Yeah.
Someone make that into a shirt, please. Anyways, I rest my case. Have a good night.
Defense draft 2024. We want all of your defensemen.
We want all the defensemen in the draft class. Gary Bettman, is that possible?
Yeah, right.
Give me Sam Dickinson. Give me Zeev Boyum. Give me Levishnov. Give me Celia.
All the defensemen. As far as where you can find me, you can use my first name. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, and last name L-A-N-D-I, across all the social media garbage. If there's an account out there, I probably have one, and I don't pull any punches. Just use my first and last name. My final thoughts are, let's not hang our, first time goaltenders out to dry.
Their mom crying at the end.
Or show their mom crying at the end. Exactly. So, for all of us, I think we'll all be doing a little bit of crying in our own way. But we also love to keep it real. We love to keep it teal, and we love to keep it real teal. So we will see you after the game on Tuesday. Thank you, everybody, and have a great evening.